And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. What's that sound like that? You hearing anything buzzy?
No,
I guess it's just me. We're using a new setup that is going to be, I guess, temporary. Thanks to the guys over at Area 51 for hooking us up with this IceCast server. I had to go to a different encoder in order to be able to use it. The version of SAM that I was running did not have IceCast 2. I needed to be able to stream the IceCast too. So that's the technical hiccup we had last week, is we didn't leave enough time to find out that we didn't have the writing encoder. So we have the writing encoder this evening. I am streaming live from lfmidwood.com and johnnylightning.com. The archive, as always, will be made available as always. First thing I guess I'd like to do is I'd like to thank my listeners for being patient. I know I haven't been on since the beginning or mid November. We had a major change here. My Aunt Jerry passed away. This is the aunt whose house we live in. So it's been a little bit of a strange voyage. She passed away on November 17th. She had a few underlying conditions, but nothing too crazy. They wound up putting down some variation of heart disease on that certificate.
Cardiopathy is the general term for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a shock. We're still in shock, quite frankly. You know, the whole family really is. We figured Jerry would outlive all of us. What wound up happening is we hadn't noticed any movement in a while, and she was always in and out on our own schedule. I saw her generally when she needed to take me to a doctor's appointment, which was actually quite often. But after a few days, we didn't see any movement of the purse or the keys. We called rescue, and they came in and they made the call. They figure she had passed away on the 17th, probably the early morning, evening of the 17th, which would have been Saturday into Sunday. We did not know for about 4 or 5 days. So I wound up calling one of the cousins who I'm close with and who Jerry's favorite. I didn't even know what to do. I mean, we were, you know.
Well, it was common for her to sleep 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and right. Then no, that's important to point out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, also where she was in the back of the house.
Yeah.
So when she went to bed, there was absolutely no noise whatsoever.
Yeah, there never was.
So, yeah. So we checked on her a couple times, and meaning we called out for her, to her, and no response. And I thought I heard her a couple of times. Now I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, you think back and you go, well, what was I hearing?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been possible.
No, so if we didn't think that anything was necessarily wrong.
No, quite frankly, right there was away. Really no, you know, immediate reason to think that there was anything wrong, or because it wasn't uncommon for her, like, you know, either sleep for a couple of days or be gone for a couple of days or come back and put her stuff in exactly the right spot.
Yeah, and this is what you always do, what people always do, really. You know, you look back on a tragedy like this, and you think, well, there has to be something I could have done or should have done, but there isn't really.
Well,
you try to, you know, see if you missed anything, you know. What could I have done?
You know, the regret that I'll carry away from this is I believe that my cousin Mark's visit and then handling of his father's funeral and or cleaning out his father's apartment, I think it was very stressful on Jerry. I think there was a definite change in her behavior from a psychological level. I think that she was really beat up because Mark's a prick, quite frankly. He just wanted to come into his father's apartment and just throw everything out. Wasn't even looking for photos or anything of that nature. And Jerry was trying to save stuff, what she perceived to be family heirlooms, which I guess they would be if they were photos and things of that
sure.
nature. And that went on for like, what was it, 6 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah. So I wound up, I think the day after George's funeral, I don't know if I mentioned it. I probably did. But if Gina hadn't prevented it, I probably would have wound up in ACI that night, which is the lockup in the state of Rhode Island, because I would have punched his face in. I mean, I literally just would have battered him. You know. So I left. And I obviously removed myself from the situation. And I think he behaved, this is the kind of guy he is, he behaved differently when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Towards Jerry and or anyone who was female. Rather, when I was there, he kept himself in check because he knew, you know, again, and he just, what was he like?
Well, don't get an EV for the
hang
key.
On, hang on.
Get it because it pins you to your seat.
Hang on.
And takes your all breath right. away. Nissan.
All right. I'll tell you what that was. Actually, we've been watching Pawn Stars, you know, the show on History.
Pawn,
I said that. I said that, Pawn Stars.
Is that like more music?
No, I guess it's that New England thing I picked up a little there. So we've been binging that. It's been kind of keeping us sane, actually. But the kind of guy, he was like 5 foot nothing, right?
Right.
Buck 50 with the pot belly?
Yep.
Yeah. So he's a little guy. So I would have just like basically punted him. But I left, you know, and I didn't deal with him. I just, you know, I said, Jerry, look, I can't deal with him. And she's like, I understand. But I left her with him. And I think, again, you know, I think his just behavior in general was deplorable. So I will always regret that. I think that might have made a difference. For say, I'm not, you know, I don't know if someone, how they're feeling, you know, how someone is feeling psychologically can certainly affect how they're feeling physically.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, you say, you know, if you had stayed there, things would turn out differently.
I think they would have.
But how they would have turned out differently is you going to jail.
Probably.
And him going to the hospital.
Probably.
Or both.
Or both. Yeah, most likely.
You know, so, and that wouldn't have helped her either. So, either scenario.
No, I agree, but I think it might have made a difference. You know, if you know, I'm not going to beat myself up over it, but
there's no such thing as good choice, bad choice. It's hard choice, harder choice.
I guess, yeah.
You know, sometimes.
Yeah. No, I get that. I just, like I said, I'm just always going to kind of remember that. So she passed on November 17th. We had a service. We had her cremated. She was moving away from, she was born Catholic, Irish Catholic at that. So she'd gone to parochial school with the nuns and the whole nine yards. And very much, in my experience with people who have gone to parochial school, either they wind up being, you know, having religion in their lives, their whole lives on some level, or they just, they don't like the nuns and they get mad at the nuns and they walk away from the Catholic Church. And I know more than a few people who have done that.
Yeah.
So, but that would also be an older generation. So I don't know what parochial schools are like these days. But she was moving away from Catholicism. She was talking about becoming, maybe checking out the, I know Katie, who's my youngest. Margaret is, she's just going to, not so convoluted. Let me think about this for a second. Jerry's older sister, Margaret's daughter. So she'd be my cousin.
Right.
Katie. We were talking and she had indicated, because Katie was Jerry's favorite. She had, even though I was the one living in the house, go figure. She said that Jerry was talking to her about taking a tour of churches and whatnot, and maybe Methodist or Presbyterian, right. You know, something along those lines. I used to break her chops about it because I think if you're born something, you were born something for a reason. God did that for a reason. I understand free will and all that, but I've always considered myself to be Catholic, however broken I am, Catholic. So we had her cremated, she's actually in three urns. One went to me, one went to Katie, and one went to Margaret, Jerry's older sister. We didn't immediately know what was going to be happening as far as, us, meaning Gina and I. We could have pushed the emergency button and gone to Texas. They would have probably come to have gotten, they would have come and gotten us, and it would have been a major thing for them. They have their own stuff going on at any given point in time. And it just would not have been a very good situation, but we were basically getting ready to do it. And, at some point, it was figured out that we weren't able to find a will. There was no will. So it's going to go to probate, which means, her older sister, Margaret, once again, will wind up, inheriting the house and all that, which was perfectly fine by us. I mean, I didn't have any interest in, you know, my idea with inheritance is when I walked away a long time ago, I kind of surrendered my right to any sort of inheritance. But as it turns out, Margaret and her husband, Dean, they live in Wisconsin. They decided that it would be better if there was somebody in the house while it's in probate, because probate can take like 6 months, even more sometimes, I guess. It depends. So we'll be here probably to September. We're waiting for Gina's Medicare to kick in before we take off. So it actually works out better for everybody that we just stay put. I know there were people who were concerned about what would be happening to us and our well-being and all that, and we're fine. I mean, as far as having a place to live and even the car is going to be wrapped up in probate, and there's no insurance on it, so it can't be used. So we're going back to what we were doing before we had a car. I don't know if any of you remember, but there was a period there. What was it like? It seemed like almost a year. I don't know.
It probably was close to, right?
Yeah, 9 months, a year, something like
it
that.
It seemed like a really long time.
When the last car gave up the ghost, and Jerry got the new Honda. So the Honda's wrapped up in probate, which is fine. We pretty much know what we need to do when we live in a general vicinity to anywhere we really need to be. It's almost like going back to COVID, really, because we just, you know, order food in, send the laundry out, that sort of deal.
Yeah.
You know, via Instacart and stuff. So we're fine. You know, for anybody out there who is concerned, I mean, as far as that goes, we're fine. On an emotional level, I've never experienced anything like this before. So I don't know what's normal and what's not. I know I go long periods of time really not thinking about it, and then all of a sudden it just comes upon me as an emotional wave. I guess living in the house makes it really, really difficult. I don't even really know what to, you know, people, I don't even know what to say to people. I know people don't know what to say to me, but I don't know what to say either. So, you know what I mean? It's just this kind of.
Well, we've been in kind of a void now since the service.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kind of sitting here going, okay, well, everything's different now. What do we do?
We had a week between the service. Where again we weren't really doing anything. I don't even remember what we did that week. Could we have been just watching television? I don't know. I don't really. Maybe I don't know.
Katie and Tim were here for
Katie and Tim
days
were that first weekend. Tim would be Katie's husband and their baby.
Yeah. So me and Layla got to eat graham crackers.
Well, which is cool. Yeah,
I remember that.
Katie and Tim made the assessment that we weren't going to be able to clean this house out on our own. Once again, it was basically a full hoarding situation. There wasn't food lying around, which is good, but it was it was jam packed. I mean, I called the family funeral home in Bristol, and I spoke to the gentleman over there who, unfortunately, I knew from my Uncle George 3 months prior and from my mom 3 years prior. I had them come and take Jerry out. It was the room between her bedroom and the main hallway was so packed full of stuff you couldn't even see the floor. So when the funeral home guys arrived, the first thing I said to him was my stepfather was in the funeral industry for years and years and years. I grew up around it. So you don't have to be, you know,
to have sugarcoat
you don't have
anything.
To sugarcoat things for me. You don't just whatever it is. So they went in and they assessed the situation. And they actually had to call the fire department to come in for an assist in order to get her out. It was that bad. So they came in and that, like I said, that Thursday, and I think one day we're on our own for one day. And then, no, we were, right? I don't even remember it, right?
I don't think I remember
that.
Yeah,
I know. There's stuff you just don't. And then Katie and Tim arrived, and they assessed the situation. No, this was beyond a couple of, middle old people being able to handle. Mm-hmm. So they relayed that information to Margaret. And Margaret and Dean stepped in, and we were able to get the house professionally cleaned. I mean, it's still not clean, but I mean, all the stuff's gone. You know what I mean? There's rooms in here I had never seen.
Right.
I mean, literally, I would honestly say half of this house I'd never seen. Honestly, there was that much stuff in it. And the stuff I did see was full of stuff. So it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they came in and they were very nice. And, we went through stuff and turns out, they figured it was going to be 5 days. It actually only turned out to be four. And it was three big dumpsters full of stuff. I mean, like the big ass long dumpsters that you see on construction sites, not the ones the flip top ones that you see at businesses. We're talking big dumpsters.
Yeah.
A lot of it, not for nothing, it just turned out to be a lot of, for lack of a better term, crap. I mean, it was like a lot of Christmas stuff, and maybe it's inappropriate that we're doing the Jerry show on Christmas. She loved Christmas. There was a lot of Christmas stuff, wrapping paper and ornament. I mean, it was just tons and tons of stuff. And what happened is there was so much of it, it just compacted down. So whatever was on the main, actual floor was like rubble. It had been like pretty much crushed to rubble. So it only took 4 days to clean it out. So
and I kind of hoping that the stupid neighbors, if they saw all that, the funeral home van and the fire department and the hazmat suit guys.
Yeah, fire department came in the hazmat suits. Yeah.
Yeah, and the dumpsters coming a couple of days later. Next time they have their frigging voodoo ceremonies or whatever over there, they'll think twice about that. And they go,
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is the crazy gringo still lives there.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not, nobody's making any.
That's the midway.
Nobody's making any fast moves. Not for nothing, like I said.
Yeah, that's right. They should, think about it.
Yeah. It'd be a fuck you and a snout full of something. So, we're just here. I really don't, I wanted to get on before the year. I know it has to be 6 weeks. I mean, I know it's a long time. I know I obviously put up that Jerry had passed in what was it, like a couple of blurbs ago, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a secret. It's not a secret. I just kind of, this is the first time I'm publicly talking about it. Everybody's been great. John has been extremely supportive in any way possible, quite frankly. And that's JL. A lot of the other radio guys, I wound up speaking to for other reasons and talking about it in passing. And, they've been great. And, plenty of friends. I mean, not alone. I don't feel alone. I can't really say that because I know I'm surrounded by people who love and care about me. But in some situations, you are alone. because that's how you feel. That's how it's affecting you. I mean, I know it's affecting you in a similar way as it's affecting me. But Jerry, next to you, Jerry was my best friend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I literally lost, you know, my best friend. So it's difficult. It's been very difficult. Somewhere along the line, I wound up, my counselor wound up leaving, and I have a new counselor who I've met with once, who's very nice, you know, so far so good, as they say. And we're going to focus on now rather than bringing them up to speed on the past. That can always come later. So, I mean, I'm in counseling, you know, there's any number of people that I could call and talk about this with who would gladly pick up the phone and do that for me.
Sure. You'd be surprised. Well, you have been surprised.
Yeah.
So far, haven't you, I think?
Yeah. Well, I never thought this would happen. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's
very
all
true.
The whole, like I said, it's literally, you know, Margaret feels the same way. I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah.
It seems all of us.
Like, sure.
Not just, you know.
I felt like I was in a, you know, kind of a living nightmare when this was going on.
Yeah.
When they came to see her and to try and help her, and then to find that they couldn't, that there was no help to be had. And I'm downstairs talking with the cops who wouldn't let me go upstairs and comfort you because you had just heard.
I had, I was standing at the foot of the sitting room, which is the long, big room between the main hallway and her room, and it goes into an L. So you only see a small portion of her room, and then it turns into, like I said, an L, and the bed was on the L side. They came in, and I heard the EMS say that she was cold. And
you didn't even know at that point until then.
Yeah, no, I
that second.
No, but as soon as they said she was cold, I know what they meant.
Yeah.
It had been room temperature to a little colder than room temperature that whole time. I'll always remember them saying that, you know, and I couldn't, the only thing I could think to do was to call Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And Katie called her mom, and Margaret got on the phone with me, and we talked about, you know, get to the funeral home and all that. And I mean, it's kind of a blurish, if you know what I'm saying. I do remember saying that I wanted the ashes. A regular burial would have been a bit more, it would have been more expensive. I don't know if I would want to put her in the ground next to the Warren or the other side of the family in Bristol. I don't think that was right. It just didn't seem that right to me, because as hard as she had tried, she had had difficult relationships with her mother, who was buried in Warren, and even in Bristol, she had had her differences at times, and it just, you know what I'm saying. She didn't want to be buried at all. I'd had very many conversations with her about this sort of thing. You know, you think that there would be enough conversations where she would have gotten a will and stuck it. There probably, not for nothing, there probably was and or is a will somewhere we're not aware of.
Right.
From conversations with her, she indicated that there was at one point in time, I think when she bought the house back in the early 90s.
Yeah, she had. Done.
Yeah, because we had talked about it. She said there was, and she said it was most likely on the will was me and my cousin, my oldest cousin, again, Margaret's daughter, because we were the only ones that would have been, you know, adultish enough, I guess, at that time.
Yeah.
Right. We never, like I said, we have yet to turn up a will, so probate it is, which is fine.
But Jerry was really good at hiding things in really odd places.
Yeah, there was a safe that belonged to my grandfather. And when my grandmother moved into assisted living, we had to clean out that house as much as we could. So we brought the safe over. It was like a fire safe, but it was like in the old days when they used to be like serious fire safes, you know? So it was in the sitting room, and I don't ever remember it being used. I mean, you know, and it's, I think if there was something as important as a will in there, I think that Jerry would have said something to me that, hey, there's a will in the safe, you know? But we couldn't get the safe open, and nobody else could get in. And we looked up the model, and we looked up how you're supposed to turn left and how many zeros and all that crap, and we still couldn't get it open. So we had to move it. Tim and I moved it downstairs, and it sat downstairs. And then I guess a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, was
it? Yeah, a couple of weeks. A
couple of weeks now. See, my sense of time is totally, totally shot. We wound up getting it paid, locksmith to open it. $750 worth of locksmith to open the damn thing.
Which turned out to be like $750 worth of sarcasm.
Yeah, a little bit. it was empty. Yeah. The safe was empty. What did we say? We said she wouldn't put something in there because she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to get it back out.
That's right.
That's so Jerry.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The service was nice. It was on December 5th, again, at the family funeral home. The turnout was, there was a mixed bag of turnout. I mean, she knew a lot of people, and we waited too long to be able to get ads in the Providence Journal and the Bristol Phoenix. A lot of people didn't necessarily know. As a matter of fact, she never used her phone book on her phone. I got her a cell phone, Android phone. And she never put people's names in the phone book. She would just use the recents, and she would go back in recents and look and call who she wanted to call, which was like super annoying. So I didn't know who anybody was. I had the phone number of one of her close friends who actually has become a very good friend of ours. Short of that, I didn't have anybody's phone number, so I had to go through the text messages and try and figure out who people were and let them know. I think I did a decent job. It was kind of hard, but I got the key people, and they were able to show. And I also had she worked at Bristol for a long while as a town planner, so I had to go down there. And let them know, because we couldn't proceed. This is actually kind of funny. We couldn't proceed without the Social Security number. Apparently, when someone passes, that's the first thing I ask for, because the funeral home, I guess, then notifies Social Security or what. I'm not quite sure how that works. So they had her, and we were talking about, but we couldn't do anything. I mean, we literally could not go forward until I had the social. So what I did is I went down to the town hall in Bristol, and I explained the situation to them, and they provided the funeral home with the Social Security number. They didn't give it to me, which was fine, but they did give it to the funeral home, and that enabled the funeral process to start. It's funny because Tim, again, Katie's husband, my cousin, he came over and he one night and when they were here, and he suited up, because it was that kind of situation. He went all the way into the back room and, you know, through the sitting room into Jerry's bedroom, and sitting right there on the floor was a pile of tax returns, the top which one of had her Social Security number right on it. But I couldn't,
right there.
I couldn't go into the room.
No.
I just wasn't able to go into the room.
No.
You know, I explained that to Katie. I explained that to anybody I literally could not go into the bedroom. Since now that it's been cleaned out, I've been in there once or twice. It's now a bare room. There's nothing in it. They took the carpeting and everything. So now I can kind of, you know, go in and, you know, but I couldn't do it. I don't, you know what I mean? I just couldn't do it.
That's, hey, I never wanted to go into my mother's place either.
Yeah.
You know, when she died suddenly like that.
Yeah,
didn't want to do it.
No.
And I could only, when I had to, then I would only stay like an hour or two and then have to come back because I just couldn't deal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So even with somebody with you, it doesn't really help.
No, not really.
No. You know? So you got to
get I'm not much for the paranormal. Started watching some stuff again recently, which is really ironic. You know, but if Jerry would only want would only want to help us, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So God forbid, there would be nothing malicious, you know. But still, no. It's just like, you know what, I just can't handle that. We'll just leave it. I just couldn't. No, I just, you know. Yeah. Now it's like, it's way different. It's a way different situation now. But we're hoping, we're giving ourselves into New Year's, and I guess I'll be on next week as well. We're giving ourselves to New Year's to get it together, and then we kind of want to get back into some sort of sense of, I'm not going to say normal, but some sort of sense of a regular schedule thing, where basically we really just have we've been watching television and hiding is really what we've been doing. So yeah, that's got to stop to one degree or another. I'm not, you know, the mourning process, as some of you know, obviously will go on a very, very long time. But we need some sense of normalcy about our lives, I guess. Right? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're shooting for. I know there's like a lot of other stuff going on in the news, and I really just have not been paying attention.
Is there really?
Yeah, this stuff. Yeah, this stuff. I need to get back into like a regular sense of programming. You know, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to make it down to John's studio at some point in January to set up the server. There, John's got a business line now, so he can run servers, so we won't have to depend upon anybody else for our storage and or streaming. So I'm assuming that's going to happen in January. I'm not quite sure when. Larry over at Area 51 stepped up big time and set us up with an IceCast server to be able to use, which is what you're hearing me on, and I guess what John's been streaming out over the last couple of shows. And Dave, I suppose. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I assume that Dave would be using it to stream. That makes sense. So that's coming up. So I got to do that. And that'll be good. That'll be, you know, a good thing for R&I in general. What wound up happening is that the host we were using, we knew that we were going to have to migrate, and they gave us a deadline, but they apparently shut things down before that deadline. So there was a good chunk of archives lost. But my understanding is there may be a person or personages who has a lot of John archives. So we may be able to make those available again. My archives were always available from John's server and from my own website. So I didn't really lose any archives. Everything is on my website for the last 6 years, which is good. Yeah, that would have been, you know, I feel bad that Dave lost a lot of archives. I know John lost some, but I think Dave took the worst hit. So, yeah. Going forward, I think everybody should be, you know, responsible for having their own archives. You know, you can't just count on stuff in the cloud. I don't know if I'm going to set it up for some sort of RAD, some sort of redundancy on the drives. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not even, quite frankly, really thinking about it at the moment. But I know it's coming up. And, you know, I have spoken to John. And, you know, I just, you know, with everything that's been going on, I didn't want him to forget that I'm not forgetting about business, for lack of a better term. And you know, he fully understands that and is very, very patient. So I like I said, I'm hoping sometime in January to get down and take care of that. So that's R&I business coming up. I don't know long term. I think I'm just gonna sit for a bit and figure out what's going on. I know I was considering going back to video, and I may or may not. I'm not 100% sure if I want to mess with that right now. I just need to kind of get my head back in the game, really, is what it comes down to. And it hasn't been in the game. It hasn't been anywhere, quite frankly. And I think having the show to focus on weekly is going to help. I mean, I find having things to focus on is extremely helpful.
Sure, that and mundane things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, cleaning a room or, you know, doing something that's just...
I might start cooking a little
ordinary
bit too.
Stuff.
So, yeah, just regular stuff, yeah.
Yeah, ordinary stuff. It keeps you not so much from thinking about anything else, but it keeps you focused in a direction other than where you were.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Or felt like you were going.
My physical health was not so great in this same time period that we're talking about. I was going through whatever my reciprocal vomiting syndrome. We still are not at the bottom of that. I had to cancel my appointment with my two specialists because they were right in that period, and I wasn't going anywhere. You know, I was literally that first week. I still don't remember the first week clearly. But on an overall level, I mean, physically, I feel all right. Because I was sick, I'm down to like 232, but not in a healthy way. So I'm hoping maybe if I can, I've been eating hell of a lot better, which is to say eating at all. I think I was pretty much on a liquid diet for a couple of weeks there, which is Coca-Cola and Gatorade.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jell-O.
So I started eating solids a couple of weeks ago, and I've been pretty solid as far as holding things down. And I'm not super concerned about my physical health at the moment.
Yes, the rest of Rhode Island can have their Gatorade and Jell-O back. The crazy lady stopped buying it all up.
Yeah, we were stocking up on it. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. I'm feeling better than I was physically, but this is not to say I feel great. I mean, I've been really off of social media entirely. I think I put one or two things up, or I started liking stuff again, which was a way of dipping my toe in from other people. And I think I put up something from the Christmas thing from the Romanoffs that I liked. And that's really it. You know, I haven't posted about this. I might wind up posting about this either tomorrow or Monday on Facebook. Like I said, the key people know, but there's a lot of people who don't know. And for me to be off of social media for like a month, they probably thought something happened to me. You know, I come from the old school Italian. When somebody dies this close to Christmas, there is no Christmas. So there's pretty much no Christmas here. I'm hoping everybody else was able to have, you know, a good Christmas. I really am. You know, I wish that for my friends. But we just weren't able to do it here. So
definitely. But yeah. Special thanks, though, to, you know, of course, R&I and the Connecticut Bureau.
Yeah, the Connecticut Bureau. He hitched a ride up here. And,
right.
We hung out, we had some coffee, and he left me with a bag of marijuana. So again,
it was very helpful.
Yeah, it was very really cool. It was very
for him
cool
to sleep.
Actually,
and it was very
yeah.
Nice.
Its timing was really good. Yeah,
and all the well wishes and listening from Washington State.
Yeah,
thank
you
very much,
from Washington.
And
yeah,
it's all appreciated, and
yeah,
we just want you to know that.
I
it's sincere when we put it on the website that, you know, we love you back, we mean it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for a lot of people, you know, and it's not just John.
Right.
You know, but again, as always, much thanks to John. And where are we at? We're 40 minutes. I don't even
really.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I can see the time in front of me, so I'm not quite sure. Look at that. You know, I have to definitely have to get my eyes checked.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
We both got to do that.
Yeah, I can't see up close on the screen anymore. It's all kind of blurry.
No, I'm walking around like Mr. Magoo.
Well, I had the start of a cataract like 3 years ago, so I'm wondering if it's gotten any bigger, where now they'll consider maybe doing something about it. You're a guy, I can tell, right? All right, so yeah, I'll definitely make an appointment. We'll go in. I look at the screen and something's got to be like ginormous. I have no problem with video, But it has to be ginormous. You know, we've been hanging out in the studio. I've been hanging, so like when I get up, I come into the studio and I spend all day in the studio keeping her from doing anything that might be productive.
All day.
Yeah, all day. but we're watching the...
No, it's okay, really.
We're watching the
Pawn.
Pawn.
Stars.
Right. So we've been watching that, and we watched season 18 and 19.
Yeah.
And then I found that we could get them all off of History Channel, so I logged in over a History Channel. We've been watching all of them. I think we're up to season 9, so we're like halfway there. And we know the old man dies. I've already been told. So it's like I'm kind of bracing myself for the old, you know, the old man passing away on the show, which is kind of sucky. So that's what we've been doing. I've been coming, and you know, it's cold again. It's been like really bad. I think it's. Let me even look. I can check on my phone.
Yeah. So this is one of the only rooms that gets heat.
It's 13 degrees. Yeah. This is one. It's 13 degrees outside. This is one of the few rooms in the house, and the sitting room and the back room, Jerry's bedroom, get heat. And downstairs, the dining room,
right,
gets heat.
Right.
We never had any heat in the front bedroom, which is our bedroom. So I've been, you know, using space heater for years. So, you know, Jerry kept telling us that there was this thing that you could go and turn, and it would move the heat. It would direct the heat downstairs, like some sort of
dealy,
like main vent, right?
Right.
So we'd never known, because both those rooms were so full of stuff, you could never get to it. Yeah. So now that the rooms have been cleared out in the living room, the only thing left in the living room and the dining room are furniture. And to my understanding, the stuff that's there belonged to my great-grandma, which is interesting. Yeah, I recognized the dining set, but I didn't recognize the couch and all that. You know, the dining room table, I should say, because many a Thanksgiving at that table. So we finally, the vent thing, it's in the living room, not the dining room. So it's in the front, right? So, because the living room's in the front of the house, and it looked like a key, like a turnkey thing, only it was like really big, you know, like the maybe on wind up toys, you see those, you know, wide keys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I go to turn this thing, and there's no resistance, like none at all. So, and I couldn't get to the rod itself because obviously it attaches to a rod. So as near as we can figure, and I had this discussion with my Uncle Tim in Florida, not to be confused with my cousin Katie's husband, Tim, two Tims. It turns out we think it's broken. So there's no heat in the front room still. And we haven't even pulled the air conditioner out, which is horrible, I know. But we have a heater in there. What do they call it? What is it? It's a milk barn?
Oh.
Milk?
Yeah, milk.
What is it?
Milk crate. Milk? No. Milk barn heater.
Right.
But it looks like a box.
It's a box, yeah. And it's got a, you know, a spring and a fan in it and a thermostat, and it throws out hella heat. I mean, in a very short period of time.
So it keeps cows warm.
Right. 1,300, it's meant to keep cows warm, so it should keep us warm, you would think, right? So what we've been doing is we've been spending most of our time in this room and then turning the heater on and kind of preheating the bedroom for when we make the move over. So that we're nice and toasty when we go to sleep, and then turn it off, and then as it gets colder, you know, we're already under the covers and everything.
Then you pray
nice.
You don't have to get up to go to the bathroom because you freeze your butt
off. Right, because you freeze your butt off. But we closed a couple more places where cold air might have been getting in, and tomorrow I'm going to pull out the air. Either tomorrow or maybe Monday. I'm going to pull out the air conditioner in the bedroom and have that window entirely closed so we'll be able to. But it's even with that window closed, I hate to tell you, it would be mega cold in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've spent most of my winters. We're managing to stay warm. And I hope everybody out there is managing to stay warm.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, another one of them Arctic
everybody's
things.
Getting wonked, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, we were Florida. Tim was telling me this morning, yeah, mm-hmm. It was pretty cold. And we spoke to
Lori last night.
And, right, our cousins in Texas where we're headed to. They were, I think we spoke to them like 8 o'clock at night. It was 17 degrees.
She had to have somebody from, you know, that she knows that lives there, but that's really from the east someplace.
Yeah.
To wrap her pipes and leave the faucets on dripping a little bit.
So the, yeah.
She's pipes. Like never had to do that in her whole life.
Right. Well, but, they had that bad cold snap a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, the pipes broke, so.
Right, because well, that's what I'm saying. The pipes froze, they burst.
Yeah.
I thought they got PEX put back in, meaning the flexible
stuff.
They did,
but not the house they're in now.
Right, right. Because they bought a house, the adjoining lot, and the house on the adjoining lot, which is a bit more, it's a regular house, while the other thing is a trailer house, meaning it was a trailer that got expanded into a house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on the phone with them, and they were, you know, we wanted to check in and make sure that they were getting battening down the hatches and whatnot. Yeah. And yeah, they said it was hella cold. So they're not, you know, again, their trailers and even their houses, really, they're not built for this type of weather.
No,
they're not. I mean, you know, dipping down to like 30 degrees at like sunrise, and then, you know, back up to 60. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, so it's been obviously this cold snap has affected a good swath of the country, quite frankly. Yeah, we're managing to stay warm. Let's just put it that way. We got kitties and whatnot. So.
Yeah, kitties and a blankie with sleeves. And
yeah, she's got a blankie with sleeves.
I'm not taking it off for
no. That was a gift from Jerry last year.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
She understood that. You know, I'm kind of a
wiener. Well, it's important to keep your climate controlled. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So thoughtful.
So it's weird. There's an echo in the house. The little sound has changed. The sound profile. It's little.
Acoustics are all different now.
Right. It's. I mean. It's mind blowing. I mean. It really. Honestly.
Kind of scare yourself if you talk too loud. It comes back at you.
Yeah. It slaps back real fast. Yeah. 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 Especially out in the hallway.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's still stuff to do. Like I only had them clean out the cook stove in the kitchen, so we have to put the kitchen back together again. But I want to do that in a fashion that's more agreeable to me, rather than you, because like I said, yeah. Well,
I want you to.
No, I still have a lot of muscle memory. It's all muscle memory where you put stuff and where it is and where to go for it. You know where to look for it. So, I mean, it's, you know, you were in there for like, you know, a while. I understand that things got changed. I get it.
Boy, did they.
Yeah, I know. A whole lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I ran a tight ship.
That's because I don't
You were like the Titanic.
I don't remember what anything.
Yeah, it's funny.
So what?
Well, yeah. Well, at least we don't have to worry about Jerry's leftovers being stuffed into the refrigerator.
Yeah,
she was always big at stuffing stuff in the refrigerator and walking away, and then it would turn colors, and we'd have to throw it out. And it's like, why do you do this?
I'm aware.
I'm aware. I know.
Yeah.
She'd be like, all right.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. What's your name? Yeah. Really, I still. It's unbelievable. It's really, honestly, unbelievable. If there is an upside to this. It's only in the fact that I don't have to feel like I'm abandoning her here alone in this environment, right?
Right.
Because I would have had a hard time, you know, I think Lori nailed that on the head. As it got closer, I would have had a harder and harder time actually leaving her here. You know, as much as it was important for us to start our new, you know, start a new page in our lives.
Yeah.
I'm not forced to make that decision anymore.
No,
that's it.
Not.
That's the only, and the fact that we were here and she wasn't in the bedroom dead for very long.
Right.
Because who knows how long it would have been before, none of her friends have ever come by here because of the shape, you know, the interior of the house and whatnot. And she's been known to disappear off people's radars for months at a time.
Right, and then come back.
She's like, this right. is the third phone I got her. She, I don't know what she did with the first two. It's hard to say. so,
I mean,
it's as it turns out, I mean, you know, it's a good thing we were still here.
Yeah.
Is what it turns out to be.
Well, I've learned one thing through this experience here in my life, and I have actually learned one thing my whole entire life, and that was that you just can't rush the changes you think need to be made and have to be made and all that. Just because we need to go to Texas doesn't mean we need to go right now. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a, you know, get it done, go, blah, 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 you know.
We're both a bit older, though.
Yeah.
I know, physically, yeah. I'm not able.
And there's that, and I've learned to ask myself, you know, why are you rushing? You know, why are you pushing it? Why are you, you know, you have to let the other people on your path go their pace, too.
Well,
and things have changed.
I prescribe to.
So we can relax.
I prescribe to everything happens in God's time. And I know that that's something that your cousin would say and has said.
Yes, she would say that.
And I find that to be the case. I have found that to be the case more often than not. You know, we've managed to hop from lily pad to lily pad over the years.
Yeah.
And things just have a way of working themselves out. And I don't take that for granted, but I do recognize it. And like I said, you know, in God's time, I can't, you know.
Well, if you try to rush it or force things, you miss things that are more important along the way that you should look at, like being here for her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's pretty understood amongst the family that, you know, it was a mutually advantage situation for us to be here with her.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as she looked after us, we looked after her as well.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's, again, one of the reasons why we're staying until the house can be brought to sale or even sold, I guess, is the last time that the house went unoccupied for a couple of few years. This is when my grandma first got sick and Jerry was staying with her in Warren, Ware Island, not Providence, where the house is.
Mm-hmm.
They broke in and they stole the copper.
Yeah.
Out of the basement, you know, they whoever.
Yep.
So the Wilhelms were quite aware of that and they were afraid of, you know, there not being someone in the house. So we're in the house, we shut the lights on, you know, we live our normal lives, we turn the lights off, that sort of, you know, go about our business. And again, if people see me, that I'm, you know, I've been here 12 years and I've been ready to, you know, shove a stick up anybody's ass who wanted to be a problem. We haven't really had any problems. Again, crazy gringo. That's yeah. What I'm referred to as the crazy gringo. So yeah. I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that label. But no, it was, you know, like I said, this has never been the greatest neighborhood. And, you know, the funny thing is Jerry always used to say, it's not as bad as it used to be in the 90s. It's like, I can't even imagine what it must have been like in the 90s.
No.
That if, because this is not good. You know, people come here during the daylight, even Connecticut burlesque.
Right.
This doesn't look so bad. It's okay. Like, you want to come back at night?
Yeah, just wait
no.
Till sundown.
No, it's bad.
Over the rainbow, buddy.
Yeah, over the rainbow. So that's it. I mean, that's what's going on. I'm okay, but I'm not okay.
I think you're doing great. I'm proud of you.
Well, like I said, because I've been focusing on stuff that keeps me distracted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to, you know.
And when you can't, you can't. But
yeah.
But you try, and that's what matters.
Well, even with the, you know, getting the service and the cremation, I tried to do what I thought that Jerry would want me to do.
Yeah.
As far as cleaning out the house, I think she'd be upset.
I do too.
Right. Right. So, I mean, there was no way around.
No.
You know, you weren't going to be able to sell it as is. Like, it was not for nothing. The EMT on the way in said that this is a fire hazard.
I heard him
so
say
if
that.
The fire department wanted to get really emotional about it and do their jobs, we could have gotten a citation and been forced to move out of the house because of it. Yeah. Now, if they came back now, we would have no issue, of course. But it was a serious, serious fire hazard, and that had been pointed out to be by more than a few of my friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was also the worst environment for someone with bipolar to live in. I kind of survived it, if you know what I'm saying. And to a certain degree, I think it was like we became a little Stockholm syndrome a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We didn't see it the same way it was.
There's an upside to downside to being able to adapt to your situation easily, or at least kind of easily.
Well, nobody had been in his house except you, me, Uncle Tim in Florida.
Yeah.
And her.
No,
in 30 years, or, you know, 25 years, whatever it was.
Laurie and John.
Oh, Laurie and John. But that was, Yeah, Lori and Sean, that was a surprise when the cousins came by.
Yeah.
But beyond that, yeah, you know what I mean? It was, so it's not like, but yeah, it's unrecognizable now. And I don't, you know, now that it's all cleaned out and it's all better, I feel 100 times worse than I did when it was packed full of shit. I'd rather have my aunt back.
It's so different, yeah.
I mean, she had her issues, she had her problems, but you know what? And I guess this is important. She was more of a mother to me than my mom was. And you can ask anybody in the family, and they tell you the exact same thing. You know, Jerry really took care of me in that way. So I never really, you know, I never really knew what it was like to have a mom until I, you know, got
she
here.
She's very much that. I used to refer to you as her nephew, son.
Yeah.
And she likes that.
Yeah. She,
yeah, and I told her why.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And I, like I said, I'd never, you know, she was always there in my childhood, you know, rescuing me, meaning, you know, coming up with a car, and whether it was in Bristol or Warren, wherever the hell I was, because of the factions with the family, she was neutral. She was like Switzerland. She liked to think of herself as Switzerland. So I'd be at grandma's, and I pretty much just about had it with grandma. And she would show up, and we'd disappear and go out and get something to eat.
Right.
She was always feeding me. That's why I was surprised she was telling Katie, you know, how little I was eating, because I have not been eating a lot. I guess the X now a month, you know, especially, you know, being diabetic, it's hard, you know, and I find it difficult to get 3 meals a day in because I just don't have the appetite. So I don't know exactly what to do about that. So, you know, I try my best to eat what I can, but she was always trying to get me to eat something.
Right.
Always.
Right.
So, but I lost my mom. That's really what it comes down to. And
you learn to live with it. It doesn't go away, but you learn to live with it. It doesn't hurt so bad. A little teeny bit at a time.
I know. You know that. And Lori knows that from losing her dad. I know a lot of people. Yeah.
Nobody wants you to pressure yourself.
No, I get that. But I mean, being so medicated, I don't process things. You know, if I were unmedicated, I wouldn't be processing it as normal, in some sort of normal fashion.
Yeah.
And I'm over-medicated to a degree, I think, and I'm not able to, you know what I mean? It's not right. Things aren't right.
They're different.
It's more than that. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. There's really no way of articulating it.
No, there isn't.
I'm an idiot for trying to. But I'm doing the best I can. You know, we're staying afloat. And like I said, I hope to be back on a regular schedule. Stop looking at your phone. I know what time it is.
I know, but I'm just trying.
I don't care. Stop looking at your phone.
You don't know.
All right. It's been just about an hour. Oh boy, man. All right. I'm gonna get out of here.
I just wanted you to maybe say the last, you know, thing.
What? Say what?
On the
last
out.
Thing? What was I supposed to say? Something snappy or witty or funny? What?
No.
What was I supposed to say?
What Jerry used to always say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is really important. Thank you for reminding me. And I said it at the service. I was able to get it in. Jerry had this saying that she liked a lot, and she wanted it to be, if there were an epitaph for her. In the end, only kindness matters. And she lived that. She lived that. She might have been the kindest person I've ever met. Seriously. And I guess I have a lot to learn from her. And I did. And she instilled things in me that I will carry with me. All right, I gotta go.
Love and light to all of you. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll be back next week, now that I'm able to actually do so. You know, thanks, thanks for hanging in there with me. And we'll convene next week. Night.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.